You'll find our scripture reading this evening in the New Testament scriptures in Paul's letter to the Romans, the 9th chapter of Romans, and we'll commence at verse 30 and then read into Romans chapter 10. The 9th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, and commencing our reading at verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. We'll end our reading there at the last verse of that 10th chapter, and we know that the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for Christ's sake. Let us again seek the Lord in prayer before we come to the preaching of his word. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, again we wait before thee and we draw nigh unto thee in our Savior's name. We thank thee for thy presence amongst us. We thank thee for help given in the singing of thy praise, in the reading of thy word. And O Lord, we cry to thee for help now in the preaching forth of the glorious gospel. I ask that thou wilt grant unto me the infilling of thy Spirit, so that I will be enabled to preach Christ in all of his fullness. Oh, to preach Christ and him crucified. Keep our meeting covered by the blood. And, O God, be pleased to give unto us blood-bought liberty now in the preaching of thine own word. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Man is a creature made in the image of God. Because of Adam's fall into sin, all men are sinners. The scriptures tell us clearly that all have sinned. The word of God makes it abundantly clear that there is none righteous, no, not one. And so therefore it's true to say that the whole world, both Jew and Gentile, is guilty before God. By nature, we are those vessels of wrath facing God's judgment for our sin. And yet, by grace, there are those vessels of mercy, as God in his great grace bestows salvation upon men and women out of that great body of Jews and Gentiles. How will they be saved? Well, our text here at the very end of this ninth chapter of Romans, and it's repeated again in Romans chapter 10, Romans 9 verse 33, makes it very clear. The words are these at the end of that 33rd verse. Whosoever believeth on him, that is on Christ, shall not be ashamed. We find it repeated in Romans chapter 10 and the verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So what is Paul setting forth here as he pens this letter to the Romans? He is setting forth very clearly, very succinctly, very plainly, the divine method, the divine way of salvation. And yet we discover in the context, back in Romans chapter 9, we read in the verse 30 of those Gentiles who had not been seeking the Lord, and yet the Lord in great grace came to them. And there were those of the Gentiles who were called out by the Lord in his grace, and they believed on Christ, and they were saved, and they received the righteousness of God, or as it's described in Romans 9, verse 30, the righteousness which is of faith. But then in verse 31, we read concerning the Jews, concerning Israel, and the words are these, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Israel, that chosen nation, given the very oracles of God. And yet we are told that they have not attained to the law of righteousness. And in the next verse, verse 32, the question is asked, why? Or wherefore? And the reason? Well, it follows. Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. So there were those Gentiles who believed on Christ, and they received the blessing of God's salvation. There were those Jews of Israel who refused to believe on him and excluded themselves from the blessing of God's salvation. And I want for just a few moments this evening to have you consider with me God's way of salvation. As it's set before us in these words in our text, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. We want to consider this truth for just a little while. And as we do so, I would first of all draw your attention to this. It's a very, very simple truth. It's a very, very simple truth. Whosoever believeth on him, that is on Christ, shall not be ashamed, shall not be confounded, shall not be disappointed. How simple this truth is. Let me set it before you very simply and plainly. What we're saying here is this, that no matter how long a man or a woman may have lived in sin, no matter how long, no matter how many violations of the law of God he or she may have committed, no matter how many times they may have resisted the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, yet the simple truth is this, that the moment they believe on Jesus Christ, then all of their sins, without exception, are immediately pardoned. And they know immediately the forgiveness of God for all of their sins, for all of their iniquities, for all of their transgressions. That is the simple truth. And yet, because of its simplicity, there are so many who stumble. And they foolishly, carnally reason in their minds and in their hearts, well, it can't just be as simple as that. There has to be something that I contribute, something that I do. There must be something that I offer. It can't be just as simple as that. Surely, if I am found to be venting my sighs and my groans, or something else akin to that, then that's going to have some merit before God. And yet, didn't the hymn writer pen it so well? Not the labors of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin cannot atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. So the simple truth is this. It's just the soul coming to trust, to believe on Jesus Christ and be clothed upon with his perfect righteousness. That's the simple truth of the gospel. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Put it another way, it's the sin-bitten soul looking alone to Jesus Christ and resting by faith on him. That reminds us surely of those verses that we find over in John's Gospel, chapter 3, with a reference to the brazen serpent. You remember how that God gave Moses that command to make the serpent of brass and put it on a pole and set it up in the midst of the camp of Israel. And Moses was then to make the announcement, the proclamation of the good news, that all of those Israelites who had been bitten by the fiery serpents, if they would but simply look to the brazen serpent, then they would be healed. We have it expressed here in John 3 verse 14 like this, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. There is the simple truth, that whosoever believeth on him, that's all. There were those bitten Israelites feeling the fever that was produced in their bodies by the bites of those fiery serpents, and they hear Moses make the announcement, simply look. What could they offer of themselves? Absolutely nothing. But the simple command was, and the plain command was, simply to look to the serpent lifted up on the pole and just obey the command that Moses gave and look to the divine provision that God had made. That was the simple message. And the message of the gospel is still the same today in all of its simplicity. You see, when we come over to another chapter in Paul's letter to the Romans, Romans chapter 4, we are told that it is God who justifies or declares righteous. God who justifies who? The ungodly. Let me just read to you in Romans 4, verses 4 and 5. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly. There it is again, the simple truth. That believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted or reckoned for righteousness. You see, God justifies the ungodly as the ungodly. They can offer nothing by way of merit to God. The simple truth is, men and women must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's come here to Romans chapter 10 for a moment. The opening verses of the chapter, we have Paul expressing the great burden of his soul, his heart's desire. He says in verse 1, in prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He longs for their salvation, the salvation of their soul, of his kinsmen, according to the flesh. And he goes on in verse 2, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. They're ignorant of God's righteousness, and they're going about, they're doing something. They're going about to establish their own righteousness, but they have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Here they are, Paul says. They're trying to establish a righteousness before God in their own way, by their own methods, methods of their own devising. And all the while, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Ah, but the question must be asked then, how do you submit yourself to the righteousness of God? How do you submit yourself to the righteousness of God? Because it's the righteousness of God that is required. It's the righteousness of God that we as poor sinners must have and must receive. How then does a sinner submit himself to the righteousness of God? Well, the very next verse tells us, Romans 10 verse 4, For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Or we could read it to get the meaning of it, Christ is the fulfillment of the law, or Christ is the completion of the law for righteousness. You see, here they were seeking to obtain righteousness by their own doings, by their own works. But they need God's righteousness. And where is God's righteousness to be found? It's to be found in Christ. And the righteousness that you need as a poor sinner is only found in Jesus Christ. But how does that righteousness which is found only in Jesus Christ become yours? By faith. Listen again to Romans 10 verse 4. For Christ is the end or the fulfillment or the completion of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. There's the simple truth. To everyone that believeth. You see, the great apostle himself had experienced this. he had received the righteousness of God, which is the righteousness of faith, by simply believing on Jesus Christ. And when he's speaking words of personal testimony, as he writes to the Philippians, I want to draw your attention to what he says and how he expresses it. Over in Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read from verse 7. We'll read the verses and then I'm going to comment upon them. Philippians 3, verse 7. Paul says, "But what things were gained to me?" And we'll see what those things were in a moment or two. "What things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ." Here's the simple truth. The righteousness which is of God by faith, by believing. Here is Paul giving words of testimony, personal testimony, and he speaks there at the end of verse 8 about winning Christ. "Oh," he says, that I may win Christ. Well, how did Paul win Christ? How did he win Christ? Well, the next verse tells us, verse 9, where we have the words, "and be found in him." He won Christ by being found in Christ. And that's how any sinner will win Christ and have the righteousness of God, by being found in Christ. By being found in Christ. But how is a sinner found in Christ? By believing on Christ. That's the simple truth. By believing on Christ. And so in verse 9 of Philippians 3 he says, "and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." He also speaks here in these verses about counting all things but loss for Christ. Verse 7, and then again in verse 8, "for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." What's he speaking of? What's he referring to? Well, you see, when he speaks here and tells forth of the righteousness which is of God by faith, he's not setting that forth until he has been able to say, "I count all things but loss." What things? All those things that he once thought offered some merit to God. His upbringing, his knowledge, his good deeds, all of those things. He came to the place, he was brought to the place, I should say, where he could see that all of these things are as nothing, they're of no value. And he says, "I count them but loss, I count them but dung, they're useless, they're valueless. Oh, that I might win Christ and be found in him, and have the righteousness which is of God by faith." So can you see then the simplicity of this truth? Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. But notice in the second place that this is not only a simple truth, but I say to you, it's a saving truth. This is a saving truth. Whosoever believeth on him. This is a saving truth. The scriptures tell us that concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, his name will be called Jesus because he shall save his people. And he'll save his people from their sins. And so we've got to realize that all that there is in sin that needs saving from
is found in Jesus Christ. That's why this is a saving truth. All that there is in sin that needs saving from is found in Christ. You say, well, what is there in sin that needs saving from? There's sin's penalty that needs saving from. And what's that? The penalty of sin, the wages of sin, is death. Eternal death. Separation from God forever. We need to be saved from that. And we can only be saved from that in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He has died for us. He has died the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That's why those who believe on Him, that's why I say to you, it's a saving truth. Oh, there's sin's bondage that we need to be saved from. Maybe you're in the meeting this evening and you say, well, you know, I would have to confess, if I'm being honest, that I know there are those sins in my life and I would like to be rid of them and free from them, but somehow they seem to hold me in a vice grip. I'm in bondage to them. I can't break free and I can't set myself free. You're in bondage to sin. That can only be dealt with in and through the Lord Jesus and His finished work upon the cross. And you will need to be saved from sin's very presence one day. And that is only possible for those who go to be with Christ. And those who go to be with Christ, they only go to be with Christ if they die in Christ. And you'll only die in Christ if you have come to savingly believe on Christ. That's why this is a saving truth. The Lord Jesus has provided a perfect righteousness. What does that mean, a perfect righteousness? Well, it just simply means that as far as God is concerned, when He looks upon the sinner in Christ, He sees that man, that woman, as being perfectly right. Perfectly right, according to His own holy law. That's what we mean when we speak of a perfect righteousness. And that's provided for us in Christ. And all who are in Christ, by simply believing on Him, God sees them as perfectly right. And He treats them in Christ as if they had perfectly kept the law of God and met all of the demands of that broken law. And God sees them in Christ as having kept that law and met the demands of that broken law, because the Lord Jesus, as the sinner's substitute, met all of the demands of God's law on the sinner's behalf. That's why this is a saving truth. And so therefore, when a man or a woman is brought to the place where they realize that they're lost in their sin, that they have no merit of their own to offer to God for salvation, when they know that Christ came and died for sinners and died to save them, and they know that there is salvation in none other, then by simply believing in Christ, they have God's salvation in Christ. I well recall the time when I came to trust in Christ. I knew I was lost. I knew I was a sinner. I knew that Christ died to save me from my sins. There was an awful lot more that I didn't know, and that I still don't know. But knowing that much,
I simply believed on Christ.
I trusted Christ. By faith, I rested on Christ. And the Lord saved me. And ever since that point in time, there has been that growing in the knowledge of God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I realize now, on looking back, that there was so much that I didn't know that I had in Christ. But as I'm growing in the grace of God and in the knowledge of the Lord is bringing me to see progressively more and more and more and more and more of what is mine in Him.
That's why we need to be those who are growing in grace once we have trusted in Christ. Because then we get to know more of what we have, of what is ours in Him. Oh, you see, this is a saving truth. Then in the third and final place, I want you to consider this. This is a searching truth. This is a searching truth. Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed, shall not be disappointed. They will not ever be ashamed of their confidence in the Lord Jesus. This is a searching truth. Why do I say a searching truth? I say that because of what we read in Romans chapter 10. Let me read two verses, 9 and 10, to you. Here in verse 9, we have the words, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe." Now, isn't that the simple truth that we have been setting before you? The simple truth of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have sought to show you it's a saving truth. But notice what this verse says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. That's why I say it's a searching truth. Shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's what verse 10 says. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. The righteousness which is of God. The righteousness which is of faith. Paul says here, it's with the heart that man believes onto this righteousness. But you say, what is the heart? What does he mean by the heart? Well, the heart is the seat of all of our affections. All of our desires. It's the very citadel of the soul, the heart. And Paul says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Well, that's so important. Because, alas, there are those who say that they believe, but they don't believe with the heart. So therefore they're not saved. You say, how can that be? How could it be possible that someone would say they believe, but they have not believed savingly? The reason being, they have not believed with their heart. Well, let me try and put it this way to you. Maybe you have been in conversation with someone about some matter and they make some statement to you. And you consider it and you think upon it for a moment. You say, yeah, well, I believe that with my head. But I don't believe it with my heart. What would you really be saying? You would be saying, well, I may believe it with my head, but you know it hasn't gripped me. It hasn't affected me. It hasn't impacted upon me. It's not going to change me in any way. And you see, there are multitudes who say that they believe. Yes, they believe the Bible is the Word of God, and that's good. The Bible is the Word of God. They may say
They believe the Bible is truth. Yes, the Bible is truth. The Word of God is truth. That's good. They may say they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He died on the cross. But it doesn't affect them in any way. They just go on still in their own worldly way. You see, they haven't believed with the heart. That's why this is a searching trust. What is faith? Faith is trust. It involves the going out of the heart. Just like the way that Paul expresses it as he's writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And there in verse 13 he says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Now in that verse 13 there are two words translated received. But in the original they're different. One means to receive as you would receive it into your mind. And you have that head knowledge. But the second one means to receive it or embrace it in your heart. And we're thinking over here in Romans chapter 10 and the verse 10, "With the heart man believeth unto righteousness." Can you say that tonight? I have believed with my heart. Simply yes, simply yes. Sincerely, truthfully. You know, the Lord has changed me. There's a change. We were singing about that in our opening hymn tonight. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. It's a glorious change. It's a saving change. And it's experienced by all of those who simply believe, yes, but who believe with their heart. So then, whosoever believeth on Him, whosoever, whoever he is, whoever she is, irrespective of their class or creed or color, whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed. Have you believed in this manner? Have you believed in this way? If you haven't, then the call comes to your heart, even now, the call in the gospel to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for Thy presence amongst us. We thank Thee for Thy Word. O Lord, we thank Thee for this truth that we have been considering in all of its simplicity, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ to salvation. We cry to Thee for any in this meeting who have not yet so believed, that Thou wilt speak unto their heart, that even now where they sit in the pew, or even after the meeting's over, that they will come believing simply but savingly with all their heart on the Lord Jesus. And we thank Thee that Thou hast given us the assurance from Thy word that they shall be saved. O Lord, write Thy truth upon our hearts this night, for Christ's sake. Amen.